from the Head Stuff Podcast Network. Welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast about words, Irish words and words from Ireland. I am the pod dad, Dara Cushé.
I'm not the pod dad, I'm Pat O'Quivonic.
You're the pod son.
You just, no, no, no.
You have to call me daddy now.
Dad, no. Oh God. Oh, I feel filthy.
It's pronounced filthy.
Filthy dirty. You're really leaning into that nickname, Rich. Is that your way of negating its power?
I've accepted it. I think our listeners have accepted it. The contributors and the larger kind of motherfucker adjacent team have accepted it. It's just, you know, it's better. It's better than the nicknames I had in school.
What was the worst nickname you had in school? Apart from Derek O'Shagirda.
I think O'Shagirda was one of the worst ones. And then there was also one day for lunch I brought in that my mom had made some, had cooked some sausages and I brought them in cold to like eat to put in a sandwich. She told me that, you know, to add them to the sandwich later rather than just have the sandwich pre-made. Yeah. And people were looking at me eating cold sausages and they were like, they started calling me sausages. And I was like, when I asked them not to, it made it worse. And
then, oh no.
And then what happened is, the teacher would ask a question, I put my hand up and someone would go, Derek, the answer isn't sausages.
Oh no, when a teacher gets in on the gig.
No, and that's the thing. It legitimizes
hatred. Like, yeah, it just
it's kind of like when a minister tries to lean into their Twitter image or their a joke about them. It's, you know, when a teacher's in on the joke, yeah, it's bad.
That's it's the equivalent of a big yellow thumbs up emoji. It's, I had some bad ones as a kid. I was very I don't know, well-spoken. I probably didn't have as rough-edged an accent as I do now. So naturally enough, growing up where I grew up, my nickname when I was in the Cub Scouts in the Machiav was Poshy.
That's
always Poshy, by the way, not Poshy. Poshy, because that's how they felt a posh person would talk.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Because I pronounce my THs, which I barely do anymore.
It's a terrible thing, because when you get slagged about being posh or something like that, particularly from people who are probably posher or maybe richer, just find ways to dress it down.
They were definitely richer. I don't know if anyone in my Cub Scout group was posh, but they were definitely richer people than me.
But you see this all the time with particularly kind of leaders in business and politics and public life in Ireland who've maybe come from kind of backgrounds of great privilege and have learned to soften their accent. In the old days, the Cardinal John Charles McQuaid, who was a Clongonian, who went to Clongowes,
Is it Clongonian?
Yeah, Clongonians are Clongowes boys.
Clongowes boys, I've heard. And a Clongonian.
And also had gone to Black... I think he's done some time at Black Rock before becoming a teacher there. He made sure that when he rose above headmaster level to, you know, he cultivated his Cavan accent to make sure to... to conceal his, you know, his son of a doctor, kind of a boarding school boy, privileged background. He cultivated a man of the people image, and accent was a part of it.
I think, look, a lot of people do that very successfully, you know, cultivating a man of the people image. Where did Bertie Ahern go to school?
Joey's, I think. I think Joey's may have produced more Taoiseach than as many Taoiseach as Clongowes. Come to think of it,
imagine that.
So Joey's, if I remember correctly, Joey's the Costello, and I think Haughey may have gone there as well. As well as Bertram.
I'm looking now, hang on, so where'd he go to school? No, he was at Patrick's National School and St Aidan's Christian Brothers.
Well,
he didn't go to Joey's.
He didn't go to Joey's.
True man of the people. True man of the people are Bertie. He went to DIT as well.
Before it was DIT.
Before it was DIT, the College of Commerce in Rathmines.
And striking the right tone is very important in communication. And sometimes an offer can appear too good to be true, whether it is a whether it is a business opportunity or a sexual proposition. It can seem too good to be true.
All right, careful now.
And and sometimes the use of language can flag this in a way. One aspect of this is when we see Twitter accounts purporting to be Irish activists using terms that are more common in England or the States.
Oh yeah.
You see this when a certain LGB alliance talks about throwing a paddy on Boxing Day at our meeting. And when they say, well, clearly you aren't Irish because we don't talk about having a paddy when you're getting upset by something. Did you hear about the LGB Alliance?
I have heard about the LGB Alliance, but did they say throwing a paddy?
They threw said throwing a paddy.
That's, yeah, what? I mean, that's, yeah, that's stupid. That's really stupid. When you're trying to, what did they call it? AstroTurfing?
Yeah.
When you're trying to build a fake grassroots movement.
AstroTurfing.
AstroTurfing. Maria. But AstroTurfing, if you're, you know, trying to denigrate the rights of trans people by generating an artificial grassroots movement. Yeah, by pretending to be like, oh, we are a group of Irish radicals such and such and such and such. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
And
Boxing Day is a dead giveaway.
Boxing Day is a dead giveaway.
And dead then, giveaway. There's people who don't even know who St. Stephen was, who you know, celebrate St. Stephen's as his day.
Another examples of this was during the Repeal the Eighth campaign. You saw some people saying, well, they come after the Eighth Amendment. Next thing you know, they're going to come after our Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Bro, do you even know what the Irish Second Amendment is?
Do I even know what the Irish Second Amendment is? I know a lot of people talk about pleading the Fifth, mm-hmm. which in Ireland is the separation of powers between church and state.
Oh, we all plead that.
We all plead that. What's on Dara Lasu or Munruch?
It's basically it's a tidying up feature. We're relating to the amendment, to fixing certain protocols in respect of how the changes in certain countries after World War II, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. They're going to come for our Second Amendment. Oh, no. You mean they're going to remove the limit on the amount of in-camera court hearings and transitory provisions?
No, not that.
They're going to unfix the presidential vacancies clause? No.
You put that right back where you found it, mister. There was another time I saw a certain, without naming names, a certain TD who was on the other side of that particular debate on the who didn't want to repeal, and there was a someone on tweet saying who claimed to be from Dublin era said, oh, you know, well done to the rookie congressman.
The rookie congressman. Dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
From
the Dublin 69th precinct.
I'm from the 2nd Congressional District of Dublin. I approve this message. Yeah, so striking the right tone is important. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes language is a dead giveaway. Because, mm-hmm. like, I have seen some, let's call them anti-fascists. I wish there was a more succinct word for that.
I wish there was a more succinct way of saying it. Isn't not a non-fascist?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've seen people like just basically trying to reply to tweets like on like, you know, do you even go here, like that sort of mm-hmm. tweet with a bit of Irish thrown in for good measure, and it seems to very obviously come from a translation engine and has no contextual clues, and it's just like immediately just dead giveaways, like, you know, she doesn't even go here.
And this is something that really comes up in the top, in what is broadly referred to as spam. So either spam emails, but also kind of bot, social media bots, fake accounts purporting to be someone else. When you misrepresent yourself, if someone was deliberately trying to represent themselves as being from somewhere else, belong to a certain body, you find most, people, most kind of communities, workforce, they have their own little shorthands, and that there's words that have a particular meaning within those groups of friends, groups of people, like some, and sometimes if it's an old word used in a different way, but then there's other, and then on top of that, you've got the actual use of language itself. And
well, what do you mean a normal word used in a different way?
You might find, yes, say that, so that for an all person, the difference between an economic issue, a fiscal issue, and a financial issue wouldn't be a big thing, but economists would lose their fucking rag over that.
I get that, because like I've shown some of the spam that I've received to like solicitor friends, and they're going like, that's not even how wills work. That's not even the right word.
It's not even wrong, is the one you get.
It's so egregious. It's like, I mean, I don't have any uncles in sub-Saharan Africa, so I should immediately know that, like, this spam is not for me. But that said, I'm always curious, like, how accurate is this? So, you know, occasionally I'd ask a lawyer friend to have a look at it and, you know, she'd normally just go, no, why are you still contacting me? This is not, I don't want to look at these anymore. This is so egregious. It's absolutely terrible. If you fall for this, I have sympathy for you, but you probably deserve it in part. Yeah, so spam. And then, of course, like language as well, because I think we've all seen instances of spam Oscar Elga.
Yes.
Which we call, of course, Tursker.
Tursker. One of the best new words in Irish, if you ask me, because it takes it. They found an old word in the dictionary that has an equivalent meaning, because spam in Ireland would have been a luxury product in the 50s. It would have been fairly high end, but
have you ever eaten spam?
I actually don't think I ever have.
I think I've tasted it once. It's all right. Like, it's fine. It's like salty ham. It's not, the texture is what gets me more than anything else, because it's reconstituted meat.
It's still
really weird.
It's still a very big thing in Hawaii and Polynesia, I'm told, because there's maybe not actual much. It's hard, so hard to keep pork fresh on the travels. And I know that there are some up market tinned meats, particularly tinned fish. Like, you get some very kind of, you get some high quality, you get some tinned tuna that costs more than a steak.
I don't like tinned tuna though. I really don't like tinned tuna.
The good stuff,
like,
is great,
I did it at a push, but I just don't like tinned tuna. I really like tuna. In particular, I like raw tuna. I really, really like good fatty tuna sashimi. Just really, really nice. But I just, like, if you wanted to do a tuna steak, maybe just seared and still raw in the middle, I'd eat that probably. But I mean, just not a fan of tinned tuna, even the very good stuff. But it is weird that, like, you know, oh, spam, disgusting. That's poor people food. It's like, yeah, but I've got this, like, pate foie gras. Oh, lovely. Delightful. A bit of potted mackerel. Oh, I'll have the potted mackerel on sourdough toast. Now that's posh.
That's
didn't have that when I was growing up.
And I had these out.
So Tursker. Yeah, sorry, we were saying, because spam is spammy, and they chose Tursker, which means?
It is a word for dead seaweed thrown by the waves onto the shore and left behind.
Ah, so it's useless and it clogs everything up.
Exactly.
Because like live seaweed is very useful. You know, like on Inish Ear, they grow potatoes in seaweed on the beach because they've fuck all soil. You know, so they're the nicest potatoes. But yeah, they are incredible. So like seaweed is useful. Dead seaweed is not. So Tursker, dead seaweed that washes up. It's like all that dead crap that washes up in your email inbox. I think it's a lovely choice, and it's really useful. It's really just a very what you see is what you get kind of approach to terminology. Yeah, so you've received spam Oscar Elga. You've received some Tursker Gaelic.
I sure have. And what I thought was very interesting is we got one in work years ago, and my manager was saying, well, we better reply to this. It's an Irish, you know what they're like. And I said, do you mean like, how's your Irish? I mean, can you see? I mean, he says, well, I don't speak Irish. That's what you're here for, you know? And he goes, and I was like, listen, mate, do you see the little sentence here, you know, $500,000? Do you see this, the word prince, princa? And you see the fact that this is the email address is actually a Chinese email address, even though and what I thought was very funny is that they had taken the time, instead of saying a Nigerian prince, it was an Ivorian prince. And I thought, hang on a second. By any chance, did they know they were reversing the Irish flag?
I mean, why else would you choose an Ivorian prince?
I just thought it was, if it was a coincidence, it was a gas coincidence, but eventually I explained, no, that it would be bad to reply to this email and verify it and damage the integrity of the entire network.
You shouldn't have told them that, like, because then, you know, they'll just stop replying to all emails, Oscar Elga. So that was probably another spam. Some poor fecker in Rathcarn is trying to get an answer as to his planning query. And it's nope, spam, slon.
And he has the polar roll up to outside his house. You're being arrested under the GDPR Act, mate. But the
is that in the Second Amendment?
It probably fucking is. I thought it was very interesting that effectively somebody in another country had taken a standard block of text, such as the classic, what is called, was the Nigerian Prince email. This is based on an old scam, which is called which is traditionally called the Spanish Prisoner. Some of our listeners might be familiar with a David Mamet film called The Spanish Prisoner. It's not good, but
I love Darragh O'Shea's three-word film reviews.
It's not good. But the idea is that there is a long-standing scam where maybe a trickster would identify someone who maybe was in possession of some cash, would say that, oh, my friend is a prisoner in Spain.
Yeah.
If we can pay his bail, he will pay you more than that money. So if you give me this much money, I will pay you back in multiples if you are kind enough to, you know, support this. And effectively,
this sounds like a winner. I'm reaching for my wallet right now.
And yeah, and there's different levels of persuasion, but effectively then with it, when this was this trick, ironically, was probably used by colonial agents on people in Africa as part of the conquest of these countries.
So they're just doing it back to us.
Exactly.
Well, we deserve that to a certain extent. God, okay, you see, the thing is, like, and there is a bit of a difference between the auto-generated spam and then these deliberately targeted scams, which do happen. And that Spanish prisoner thing is, it has tended to come up quite a bit in my day job working with older people. I would often get reports of people who would receive an email purporting to be from a friend, either from the friend's email account hacked or from a set up email account that looks like the friend has the same name or whatever. Mm. And it's like, you know, do you have a moment? I'm stuck in Spain. I'm in trouble and my phone has been stolen. And then next thing you know, people are sending money via Western Union or something like that. Or I'm sure Western Union have the requisite checks and balances, but they're sending money via unsecure methods and can be at stake, you know, can be at risk of losing a huge amount of money. A lot of people have lost a huge amount of money. So there's a bit of difference between auto-generated spam and scam and phishing, P-H-I-S-H, that is to say, which I believe is only called phishing because the interwebs wants it to be spelled differently.
But I think there is a point. I mean, I understand the logic of spelling it differently for that reason, so that it has a different searchability. Because if you want to search phishing,
I understand that. Because if you want somebody to search the wrong kind of phishing,
SEO,
then that makes perfect sense to me. But anyway, the point being that there's sort of auto-generated spam botty style content, and then there's targeted, deliberate phishing, like scams, and both of them have thankfully been translated into the Irish language. You know, we love being included.
So. You
know, we love getting in on the act, even if the act is being, you know, having our computers riddled with viruses or getting scammed out of thousands of euro.
We'll be right back after this short message from another great Headstuff podcast network show.
I'm Gerard Farrelly and I'm the host of Fascinated. Have you ever wondered about the pop bands you liked as a teenager? What went on behind the scenes?
We had played this like grand prank.
It sounds terrible, but I'm just so relieved it's over. And then they had this like great idea of getting another girl in who looked like Heavenly.
What did they do afterwards?
And all of a sudden you're like, that's the end of that.
It was all blowing up and it all kind of just unraveled.
And I thought it would last forever and it didn't.
Check out Fascinated with me, Gerard Farrelly, on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
So some of the Irish Four family on Twitter have been kind enough to share some of the examples of the spam they've received.
This is what happens when you take it upon yourself to be the pod dad. You start calling your followers family. All I'm saying is you're only like a few months away at this stage from taking over a church and having a shootout with the FBI.
They're having a shootout with me.
Okay, too soon.
Too soon, oh God, you're always too soon.
Yeah, I love some of these. These are brilliant. Deshkino, business opportunity. This one is Da Honguk. I like that. Ismisha CFO Swedbank Nasulana. I am the CFO of Swedbank Sweden. That's good, as opposed to Swedbank Finland or Swedbank Norway. And I have a business offer. Yeah, Tatarskin Kano Agumla Reintlat, Teja Jagwa Lumlahig Tila Sunri. That is perfect. Oh my God. If only it didn't come from a very obviously faked email address. My God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's an interesting business opportunity from potato up the ass at gmail.com.
Yeah. Díolúid is forbore tahime, a dairig leis an góras ibrachán a bhrise ar mo ghléas. Chonaic mé tú le mianna anús, rinne mo víris onáu tú ar de ghléas trí híb de chuiní fásta ar tug a cuairt ar le daoine. So I am forbore tahi, I'm a developer of experience. I'm an experienced developer, probably. Mm-hmm. And I managed to install a device on your work laptop. I've watched you for months now. My virus has gone into your device through a site for grown-ups. I assume an adult site.
Dini Fosta.
Er hooked to Court Air Ladani. Musparon Bitcoin. Astrig Mila Trikade US dollar quick Musparon Bitcoin. I love this. Mora Willis got Kunasesho Yenef is fed like Kaura Era or Google Kianig Bitcoin. Yeah, right. If you don't know how to do this, you can seek help on Google. Kianig Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin. I doubt you're going to find the instructions Ask Gaelga on Google Kianig Bitcoin. I don't know.
Well, Brad Ross being Kianig May, Kupla Bitcoin. Kianig May
Bitcoin. Kianig Namitcoin. Got this friend request from a Facebook bot. So Dara says, oh, look at this, Carmelina. And she says, Diaga Gachtina, Mas Mean Lat Aved Aveld and Grupa Ganesh WhatsApp. Hello, everybody. Would you like to be in the WhatsApp sex group? Oh, okay. Gramila Magath. Agus na veg awfail. Agus ni veg awfail art. You won't be surprised. You won't be disappointed. Be le builan grupa tushkul. Gakrud ser and ashka gan arigat. Yeah, so be with the members. I imagine that's be with in the biblical sense. Be with the members of the group because everything is free. So yeah, Ganay ser and ashka, free sex. Ask Gaelga. What's this one? Okay.
She's quite forward, isn't she, Carmelina?
She's quite, yeah. Oh, here's one that Chris sent us. Nihilisigum kunas an litter sho hosuet. I'm bad pronoun usage there. Or preposition usage. Wet's a preposition, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Tosaime erin virik gorebe amanda ma'anam. If that's a fact, if that's a firik, I'm going to question that straight away. Tomitrukado rogume agusta coni orum sanyunlan. Oh, so Guardian probably knows her.
Oh, yeah. Imagine Finland.
Yeah. So, Bualum amaka havlat on me the ta nismo. I would like to spend time with you an amount that is more. Okay. The Iramort Nakshgrivi to them is Fajr Lemma Vukal de Litter Ekol. I ask you not to write to me. My boyfriend would see your letters. So what do you do? Oh, yeah, here we go. Install this app on your phone to speak to me. Dead on. Yeah, no problem, Amanda from Finland.
It's like Margaret. Dangerous liaisons, you know. We don't have letters to be seen. We must communicate in private.
Yeah. Here's one that Tig sent us from someone he's not connected to on Facebook. Sieve Datu Prostitute Donna. And lovely little emojis, Irish flag, bikini, and pointy finger.
Pointy finger?
Pointing at the link to the to the naughty prostitute dating site. I mean, we've got terms. That's just lazy translation, to be honest with you, because there are terms in the folklore for prostitute and for sex worker and for the likes. So I don't know why. And Pather says, I've been getting calls from Her Majesty's Customs, and I only reply in Irish. Span them back, Father Mabuchel.
Absolutely.
So, look, it's not actually a new thing, would you believe? This has been happening for quite some time, and I found an article from 11 years ago today, would you believe? Friday the 26th of February, 2010. Gordon Smith was writing in the Irish Times. Native Irish speakers are being targeted in a new wave of spam emails. The message concerned purports to come from a Patrick Chan of the Hang Seng Bank in Hong Kong. It asks the recipient if they would be interested in a transaction involving Sim War Arrogate. However, the supposed sender introduces themselves as Tom A rather than Is Misha. Dead giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
dead giveaway. But it's interesting. There's a bit here from an expert in spam emails and other sort of phishing exercises. The point of this is for the sender to appear more credible, or even to get sympathy from someone who may be an Irish speaker and could be impressed that a person has bothered to translate the message. And it's sort of those like, okay, yeah, like, I mean, to be fair, I'm actually impressed, like, you know, particularly when it's well written spam. But yeah, like, if people do tend to treat it as a little bit more legitimate if something arrives in Irish. And there's kind of there's two things going on here. There's obviously people who just sort of, they do the you mean is anum dumb approach. They look at the map, Ireland, do they have a language, Irish, grand, lob it into a translation service, free one online, and bang in the spam email or have the bot auto-generated in that language. That's one way of doing it. And then there are people who just go like, well, I mean, if I do this like that Da Hongok one was Roisin who sent us that one. Amazing phishing, like unbelievable. That looks so legit, except for the fact that it comes from shoveapotatoupyourtailpipe@gmail.com. Like, yeah, just, and that's attention to detail. And like, okay, there is a point. There is a point where you just go like, I'm not going to click on this. I'm obviously not going to fall for the spam. But you know, I'm going to give you a tip of the cap because well done, sir. That is a lot of effort you put into trying to take my money, but not today.
Not today, chap.
Yeah. But anyway, 11 years ago, they were warning about this new wave of spam emails coming in. And yeah, it's still happening. I still get one every other day. Yeah, I don't know. I remember there was a chap around about the same time, 11 years ago or more, when spam was still new, and it still was chaps in internet cafes in different parts of the world sending you stuff, as opposed to auto-generated. The technology hadn't caught up really at that stage. These phishing scams, one fella, he ended up saying, how do I know it's really you? Send me a photo of yourself with a shoe on your head. And he ended up doing this blog, this website, where he had pictures of hundreds of lads with shoes on their head, trying to prove that they were who they said they were in their email address or in their email, looking to get money out of it. It was very funny. It was very funny. But really, don't reply to spam. Not to a frag or a bear.
Absolutely. It can't go anywhere, because I know the big thing is even when people do reply thinking they're smart, it just verifies the fact. I mean, if they're sending an email to 1,000 possible email addresses and 990 of them come back as not being real, the other ones are verified. And that means they can, when they send the next one, they'll send it just to the verified ones. And that's how they build this stuff up. So, I mean, has the progress in spam just reflect any developments in machine translation? Are these getting better?
Yeah, they are getting better in essence, because like Microsoft recently brought Irish on board into their Bing translation. And I had a chat with one of their senior engineers about it. And like the biggest hurdle that they were facing was the fact that, you know, the verb subject object order, is a massive challenge for machine translation, but they're slowly overcoming it. And you know, we've spoken at length on the podcast about one of the major failings is there's not a lot of Irish online that machine translation engines can grab from.
Yeah,
and you know, basically spew back out, because certain phrases, like for example, you know, I am the representative of your dead uncle in Burkina Faso, that may not have ever been used in a book that was written in Irish and published online. It may never. It may have been. I don't know. I haven't read everything Padraig O'Connor has written, so he may have written about a dead uncle in Burkina Faso. I'm not overly certain. I doubt it, though. So, you know, as more Irish is published online and as thousands and thousands of people are tweeting in Irish, you know, there's more for machine translation to pull from. So it's becoming more sophisticated. Basically, what I'm trying to say is Skynet. The machines are learning, and they will eventually take over. But in the meantime, spamming is getting a lot more sophisticated and the translations are getting a lot more sophisticated, and it's becoming a lot more difficult to tell what is spam and what isn't. But I mean, usually if someone asks you for money, just say no. Just no.
And on that note, I want to remind people about our Patreon.
Yeah, unless you know who they are and you call them podcast dad and you love their content. I mean, buy things. Yeah, consume.
Buy things.
There's no ethical consumption under late stage capitalism. So consume, buy subscriptions to podcasts and be happy. Happiness guaranteed. Happiness is not a guarantee. Terms and conditions apply.
Your happiness may differ from the happiness of Motherfucker's producers.
Yeah, it's like, but what if I get an email that claims to be from my mother saying she's stuck in Spain? And it's like, give her a ring.
Mm.
Oh, the email says her phone doesn't work. Well, fucking ring her. If the phone works, the email's lying. So if the phone doesn't work, don't give her any money. Just don't. Don't give your mother any money.
Oh, yeah. She wouldn't, you know, all the times your poor mother has given you money when you were going out dancing.
I suppose she did give me a fiver to go to a Cayley in the school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's fair. I will pay her back for the dancing money. And other than that, if she gets stuck in Spain, especially if she didn't tell you if she's going to Spain in the first place.
Yeah, well, then you'd be very cross because, you know, she told your sister.
Well, of course.
Those two are in cahoots.
They're out to get me.
They have a separate WhatsApp group without you, and they just slag you all the time.
You know what? Not only is that true, but I don't even have a sister. That's how bad the situation is.
Good stuff. So, I mean, before we wrap up, I mean, like, are you enjoying any other podcasts at the moment?
No.
No?
I wouldn't cheat on you.
Are you enjoying listening to other podcasts? Not just being on them. That's what I meant. Obviously, you wouldn't dream of going on another podcast without my prior approval.
Am I enjoying other podcasts? Yeah. Fuck it. I don't know. I should say...
Well, I'll start just by talking some recent podcast episodes, which I've really enjoyed, and in which there's this show called Switched on Pop. It's on the Vulture Podcast Network. And one of the things they did recently was they looked at... They basically analyze pop music from the perspective of a musicologist and a songwriter. So they actually, and it, rather than just being like nerds who have strong opinions on other people's creativity, they actually know things about chord changes and octave ranges and stuff like that.
Oh no, it's worse. They're well-informed nerds with strong opinions on pop culture.
But they looked at the soundtrack to Bridgerton and the actual decisions made in arranging kind of contemporary pop music for a restoration era classical music, such as how they got, how Thank You Next was arranged for piano and violin. But they also looked at the actual classical music chosen for it. And there was a very interesting story about how Brahms, the composer, he was in love with a widow of his friend and they couldn't be together by social mores, but he composed a piece of music, which is a piano duet where two people will be playing piano at the same time. And he wrote little bits in it where their hands would touch while they're both playing. And that was
this is like why set dancing was invented.
Exactly. Ways to touch people.
Ways to touch people and ways to talk to people. Ways to whisper in someone's ear when you were chaperoned. Yeah. Because, you know, like the Bridgerton was good. Like it was good. Nicola Coughlan's absolutely class. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything she touches turns to gold. She's class. I'm a big fan. But the thing about like the restoration era visuals and the, you know, modern pop and pop rock music, that's been done. Mm-hmm. That was done. I remember the first time I ever saw that was in a film called Plunkett MacLean.
Yes.
You ever saw that? Robert Carlyle and I think Johnny Vaughan. Johnny Lee Miller. That's right. Not Johnny Vaughan.
And Liv Tyler was in that, wasn't she?
Liv Tyler was in that one. Yeah. But yeah, they were the Scottish and English highwaymen. And that was a bunch of those sort of, you know, late 18th, early 19th century, Georgian Regency era sort of things where all the dances were pattern dances and very stoic and staid and lots of curtsies and bows, but it was like fucking Nirvana or whatever.
Given the late 90s Britpop era, it would have been probably the Ocean Colour Scene or Blur or something.
I'm going to find out. Yeah. I'm going to see if such a thing is a Plunkett and MacLean soundtrack. Bit of Craig Armstrong. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Good old Craig Armstrong.
Yeah, the Tiger Lilies. A lot of the Tiger Lilies. And some Tina Weymouth. And a lot of Craig Armstrong. That's the original soundtrack. I don't know if they used any other... I don't know. And obviously, Moulin Rouge did that as well. The musical, the Baz Luhrmann musical. Mm-hmm. But a lot of musicals are going down that way as well.
It seems that way. But it's
modern songs.
It's interesting that they choose modern songs, but also the creative decisions in terms of making those arrangements to make them sound as though they were of the era is an interesting process. Anyway, that's my podcast recommendation for our listeners this week?
I'm listening to a podcast called Behind the Bastards, which is a long form podcast by a writer called Robert Evans. And he basically analyzes the worst people in history, from King Leopold I of Belgium to Adolf Hitler to Ben Shapiro to Ted Cruz. Basically anyone who could be categorized as a bastard, and has a guest in studio, and he basically reads a 6,000 word essay to them and they riff on it. So every single podcast is two episodes, about an hour and a half long each. So if you just want to listen to someone talk about what a bastard, a certain bastard is, for 3 hours, it's brilliant. So I listen to it every night. Get my hate on, you know.
Has he done Yates yet?
No, I've been writing to him. I mean, like, Robert Evans, if you're listening, do Yates. Bastard. A monkey ball injecting slippery handed bastard.
Although
Who could write a decent poem.
And he was involved on the coinage committee, one of the best things that the early Free State actually did was putting animals in coins. And if you are following if you're following the Motherfucklore account this particular week, our guest curator is the quiet activist behind the put of the animals in coins movement. We'll never really know who it is.
It's a movement.
It's a movement. We don't know how many strong they are.
Put the ban of back on the coins. That's what I say.
Put the bow on the ban.
I love it. Put the bow on the bound, yeah.
Boom, boom,
boom. Bound, already good, LeBeau. More, yeah, that'd be class. I'd love to get the, I think Europe should have joined the pund.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the closest one. It was the closest of all the European currencies that joined the euro. The Irish pund was the closest to one-to-one. So we had the kind of the least adjusting to do. And then we still bitched about it. We still complained about it relentlessly, about having to go 79 cents on one side and €1.27 on the other. But I mean, like, we had probably some of the least amount of mental arithmetic to do.
But we adjusted the quickest. The least amount was the Germans, because it's basically two Deutschmarks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you'd never guess who was behind that decision.
if you have come up with a new currency in Frankfurt, and it is easy for the mental arithmetic.
Yes, gasp. But anyway, if you receive some Turska or Span, please do let us do contact us on the Twitter, or wherever, and we would love to see it. We might even read out some of the other examples you get if you want to send us on. So please do. And so, until the next time, Slán from me.
Agus Slán Wamsha, ná fragar an tuirscar. Don't answer the spam. Slán.
We hope you enjoyed this week's highly informative episode of Mother Folklore. Mother Folklore comes out every Friday in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you can't wait that long for your next podcast fix, Head Stuff to another many other top quality shows, including Words That Affect, The World According to Wikipedia, and Pints of Malt, all top notch. If you'd like to contact the show, please send us a WhatsApp note to the number in our show notes.
This episode is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. Thanks a million to everyone who's subscribed over the last number of weeks and months. And if you're interested in getting bonus content and access to more than just the weekly dose of Mother Folklore, you can subscribe at patreon.com/Darrock. Thanks, as always, to Kirsten Scheel for the artwork, and to Brian, the tireless, tireless Brian, for producing. We appreciate them more than words could ever say. I might send them a nice email just to thank them.
Words.
Yeah. Kirsten agus Brian achara. Is Misha on sexy prince pather.
And so, until the next time, mind yourselves. Agus Slán.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
You have WhatsApp on the laptop?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what I need.